Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dudes on Hockey. We're up to episode 39. I'm Mike. That's Doug.
Dude,
what's up? 39. It's a very famous number in Sharks history.
Thomas Pleahall.
Close.
Jeff Friesen
is the biggest number 39. Thomas Pleahall is the current number 39. There's only one other Shark in the history of the franchise that has worn number 39, and I'm sure you'll never get it because I had to look it up.
I'm going to go with Robin Bawa.
That's actually a pretty good guess.
Really?
Not that far off. Ed Courtney, who also played the inaugural season.
Nice.
So, Ed Courtney.
If I had just picked that out of the dark, dude, I'd say let's go to Vegas right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, which we're going in a couple of weeks.
Dude, we are. Last weekend of the season.
That's right. So, we're going to Fan Appreciation Night, which is a Thursday night. Friday, flying out to Vegas. We got games on tap. I think Sharks are playing Saturday night, right?
That's right.
So, we're betting on the Sharks. We're betting on hockey both nights. And
I think we should throw some games out the podcast before we go and let the listeners pick on the website what game they want us to bet on.
That's a pretty good call. I might bet on all the games regardless, just because I feel like going that way this time. But I usually don't do that. I usually pick a couple of things. I like the over this game, or I like the winner of that game. This time I'm feeling like I don't know. I could be feeling lucky. I could feel
you
like
got the fever.
Not that I'm going to do like a 12-team parlay, but I might bet on every game. Yeah, bet on a lot more games than I usually do.
That's good. It you may as well just keep the money that's in your pocket because that's all you're going to end up with.
Yeah, seriously.
Even.
Seriously. Even. Well, we had a good show last week. We got a good response last week's show, which was the EJ Raddick show. Certainly, from our perspective, the biggest show he's ever done. So I know a lot of people have given us some good comments on that. So
yeah, thanks. We got some new comments on iTunes. Some people were very generous with their reviews, and we got some new listeners, and we want to thank everybody for tuning in. It was a great show, and we look forward to delivering more like it, maybe.
Yeah, it's possible we might get EJ again. You never know. I don't know what's going to happen there, but it's possible. I'm just going to throw it out there.
The door is left slightly ajar.
That's right. And for those of you who have visited iTunes recently or hopefully downloaded us through iTunes to the feed, you'll notice that we actually have a new graphic up there right now.
There's nice!
Yes. So the crappy five-year-old finger painting graphic that I did, I am not a graphic designer by trade, as you might have guessed by looking at that atrocious graphic, has been replaced by an actual professional-looking one by our good friend Bryce Costello. So
very nice.
Thank you, Bryce, for providing that. And if anybody wants Bryce's other amazing graphic design services, you can email us and we'll get you in touch with Bryce. But yeah, it lends a certain credibility to the show that we certainly didn't have with that piece of crap that I put on there that I literally came up with in like 10 minutes because I was... you know, submitting it to iTunes, and I'm like, oh crap, I need a graphic. Okay, what can I come up with? Blah, blah, blah. And so now we actually look legit. So,
dude, no excuses. No excuses. I like that graphic, dude. I admire your dedication to the podcast, dude. You're still here.
That graphic blew.
Dude.
It's okay.
Dude.
Everybody has talents and things that they're not good at, and that's one of those things I'm not good at.
Why are you selling the podcast short,
dude? I'm not selling the podcast short. I think the podcast is good. Just the graphic that was accompanying the podcast maybe wasn't as top-notch as we would like it to be. And now I can honestly say it is as top-notch as we'd like it to be. So
you're saying it's our podcast maybe is sort of like the Philadelphia Flyers?
Yeah.
Good content, but not good goaltending?
Yeah. That's...
Although they're playing well now.
They beat Jersey.
They did.
They beat Pittsburgh over the weekend.
They did. They looked good on Sunday.
Yeah. So... thanks for that. We also got to talk about fantasy because the regular season of the Dudes on Hockey Fantasy League is over. As per usual, I am in the exact middle of the pack. I'm like 8th of 14 or 7th of 14 or something like that. So, of course, I missed the playoffs because I suck. But you made the playoffs and?
I lost in the first round, dude. I had the win going in, going away.
Dude.
It's very upsetting.
Dude.
I know. I lost to a team that had Fedor Tootin on it. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I was very upset.
You got outmaneuvered. Just admit it.
I wouldn't say I got outmaneuvered. He didn't do any pickups to try and get the lead back at the end. It came down to the goaltending, and Backstrom pitched a shutout on Sunday against who'd they play?
Edmonton?
Those bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah. He pitched a shutout against Edmonton, and so he took the shutout category, and that also lowered his save percentage and goals allowed, and he took me.
Yeah.
He took me. So congratulations to the Robert Baron, and you are not allowed to play in the league next year.
Yeah, you're officially banned.
Just kidding. No, dude. Congratulations, dude. I told you I'd give you a little shout out. He lost Mikko Koivu, too.
That hurts.
Yeah.
But we'll be updating fantasy a little bit here and certainly talk about the winner when that happens and their team and, of course, what we all did wrong.
Yeah, we've got the semifinals right now between Clutterbuck Scores and Jack's Baby Mama.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other round is the Robber Barons and behind enemy lines, our good friend Ian.
Okay, there we go.
So there we go. We'll be announcing who's playing in the championship next
week. See, the Canadian guy kicking ass at fantasy.
That's
see?
Right.
Yeah. This is what
maybe,
it is.
Maybe we should just drink a lot of Molson.
Maybe we should. Maybe we should. Well, let's get on to the Sharks because it was sort of an up and down week for the Sharks. We podcast before the Phoenix game last week, so let's talk a little bit about the Phoenix game.
Do we have to?
Well, no, technically we don't, but that was a pretty crappy game. Cough up three goals in the first period.
Man, that was terrible.
Dude.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
But I wrote about this on the blog and took a little heat for it, actually, but maybe justifiably. But I was really encouraged by the way that they came back. I liked that. And the refs basically pocketed their whistles the entire third period. And then with, you know, a minute left or less than a minute left, 30 seconds left, they decided to call a cheap interference penalty on Cheech.
Yeah.
Send him to the box. The Sharks are dominating Phoenix. They're just completely destroying them. Phoenix looks like they wanted to go cry and run away in a hole. They couldn't believe what they were dominating the Sharks, and the Sharks totally came back and the refs gave it away. And then Rob Blake, has you ever seen Deliverance?
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's what was happening, Rob Blake and Shane Doan.
Yeah.
And yeah. Shane Doan's got a pretty mouth.
Yeah.
And dude, they didn't call that.
Yeah.
And Doan still put in the net. He's good, dude.
Great individual effort by Doan. Yeah. It's too bad he's sort of in the wasteland of Phoenix, because if he was in a bigger market, everybody would understand how good of a player he really is. So I think he's going to be on the Olympic team, I would think.
You would think so.
The Canadian Olympic team. And that's going to be a tough team to make.
Putting that game behind us.
Yeah.
How do you think we've responded so far, dude?
Pretty damn good. I mean, I was happy with the Nashville game. I was really happy with the Dallas game. Dallas scored first. Sharks didn't panic. Came back. Scored. Scored too quickly. Take the lead. It's good times. And then, you know, Colorado was maybe a little bit harder than I would have liked, but they managed to put it away. And, I mean, what can you say? They had a horrible loss. They had a team meeting where God only knows what happened. Either people got reamed out or they got a stern talking to, or maybe they all just held hands and sang Kumbaya and let's get together. And
we'll never know.
You never know. But the Sharks responded, came back. So, you know, now, even though they have so many injuries, they're still looking pretty good.
I felt like they looked like the Sharks for the first time in several weeks on Thursday night, the way that they were controlling the game. Nashville was forced into playing our tempo.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of shots from the point. A lot of guys in front of the net. They looked confident and determined to prove a point. Seto's really responded this weekend, too.
Yeah, yeah. And I had that totally wrong. So I made predictions, and I got shelled. I think I only got... I said we were going to lose to Nashville and Dallas, and Squeak went out in Colorado, and Seto and Cheech wouldn't score. All of those predictions were completely wrong, except for the Colorado one.
Dude, I made the prediction. I called the Dallas one. I'm back. I'm back.
You're back. You're better than ever, dude.
That's right, dude.
Dude?
Yeah!
Dude, that's a good prediction. So
thank you very much.
We're going to have some more predictions here later in the show, but first of all, we do need to preview the next two games. Chicago, Nashville. Chicago is in the playoff hunt. Chicago is in the playoffs for sure. They're the current four seed. Nashville is in the eighth spot right now,
mm-hmm.
and they are fighting for their lives because there's a lot of people right on their heels, so... You know, it's going to those games, Nashville, will they want some payback since it's going to be in their house in Chicago? We've had some interesting games in Chicago this year, so we'll see. Although Chicago isn't playing all that well lately, are they?
Yeah, Chicago's kind of been scrapping around. Actually, they're 3-5-2 in their last 10, but they've gotten points in their last three. They've lost in overtime twice to Columbus and Edmonton, and they beat LA pretty soundly on Sunday 4-1. But they've been struggling. They're missing Patrick Sharp for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very similar to the situation that we were going through.
Right.
Do I doubt that Chicago's a playoff team? No.
No.
You know, they're gonna come out of it. They've got so much depth on the blue line, and their forwards are so dangerous that they're gonna find themselves again. But this is a young team still.
Yeah, very, very young. So we'll see what and I know Hewitt hasn't been playing very well. And so all they can do is Habibulin. That's their only shot. And so their goaltending's been a little up in the air. I hope we can sort of catch them on an off night. It'd be nice to catch them. And then Nashville on the second night of a back-to-back away. That's going to be even tougher. So I think Nashville will definitely be a lot hungrier than Chicago. Chicago, I don't think they're in that much danger of giving up the four seed. So, you know, if they lose, it's not the end of the world for them. They're sort of fighting what the Sharks are fighting, a little bit of that ennui. If you want to call it that, but we'll see. You know, I'm not real confident, to be honest, about either of those games. And then we have Phoenix at home over the weekend. So,
If we get 2 points on the road trip, we just got to win one of them, or we got to take. Even if we take 2 overtime losses, I think 2 points is going to help the Sharks tremendously. They got to get points in every game now.
Yeah.
You can't go away empty-handed.
Right, if they're trying to get the one, that's for sure.
We got to get the one.
Yeah.
And I don't think anything's going to make me back off that statement that if we don't get the one, I think we're, you know.
Cooked?
No, I mean, I was going to say if we don't get the one, we're close to done. Yeah. But
Dude,
you can't say that, but you got to know that as a Sharks fan, it's just going to be brutal. Game 7 in Motown. We don't want to put ourselves in that position. The Sharks have worked so hard all year to be the best team in the NHL. They got to close it out.
Right. Well, we'll see. You know, if the seeding goes our way and they have to, it's possible Detroit could face a real tough second round matchup depending on the way things sort out. If there's an upset or something, you know, you never know.
That's why the playoffs are so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about the injury situation now with, Rob Blake? Looks like he's going to be out the rest of the week, at least until Saturday.
And Marlowe's going to be out on Wednesday.
Not for injury reasons,
right.
But it's baby time. Congratulations
to the
Marlowe's. And Marcel Gotch is out with what I guess McClellan is calling a lower body owie.
Okay.
So it's not an injury, but it's an owie. What do you make of that? It looked more than an owie to me.
Yeah. Well, the hits just keep on trucking. That's what that means. I mean, how many guys can the Sharks have out? They have tons and tons. So we're seeing Vesey in the lineup. We're seeing Tom Cavanaugh in the lineup. Jamie McGinn's in the lineup. Brad Stavitz is in the lineup.
Speaking of those guys, dude, on Saturday, I watched the Worcester Sharks play online against the Lowell Devils.
Was that brutal?
Oh, man, it was so brutal. Because we've sucked all the talent off their roster.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, when you're staring at Lucas Kaspar going, come on, baby. I mean, this guy is, he can't even dominate at the AHL level.
Yeah.
You know, poor Thomas Greiss is down there trying to just save their bacon on every play. And defensively, they weren't bad, but they couldn't score to save their life. They got shut out. I turned it off. It was 3-0. And I know they got shut out the next night, too. They haven't scored in, like, 170 minutes of hockey or something I read. So brutal, brutal. They're going to be on the NHL Network, though. The Worcester Sharks are playing on the NHL Network at 4 o'clock on Friday, if you're curious.
I might have to TiVo that.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Check out the mediocrity, dude.
I know Riley Armstrong is, like, the best player there now.
And now he's like, five deep there.
Yeah.
That's not good. He wasn't good enough to get the call up.
No, they need him there.
Dude, who comes back tomorrow?
Who comes back? JR comes back tomorrow.
That's a bit of a pleasant surprise.
That's a big surprise. I thought they were definitely going to shelve him until the playoffs.
JR wants to come back? You let JR come back, I guess, huh?
I think we could win. With JR in the lineup, that could be great. You give him some time in the power play, put him on the third line.
Sure.
Yeah.
What do you think? As far as the Sharks being totally tight-lipped about that, does that mean Torrey Mitchell could possibly be closer than we know?
You know, I've made so many predictions about Torrey Mitchell that have turned out to be completely wrong. I've heard things about Torrey Mitchell from Randy Hahn, no less, that turned out to be wrong. Randy Hahn said a month ago that he was going to be practicing with the team within a week or two. Still not practicing with the team. I have no clue what's going on.
We didn't hear anything about JR practicing with the team. I mean, he was out there skating.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason why I'm bringing it up is because in the paper, McClellan was saying that when he puts a playoff lineup together, you know, he does one every, you know, day and kind of plays with the lineups. He says Mitchell is always on a line. So why would he say that? I felt like that was a little bit of a clue.
Yeah.
That he might be closer than we know, maybe. And they're just being real tight-lipped. It's JR thing. When I read that today, I was shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, JR is one of those guys that you could see. Personally, I could see you holding him back until the playoffs because we've seen him play this year. We know he's been effective. We know he's a little bit older. He's got the shoulder injury he needs to nurse. Mitchell doesn't appear to be in that same situation. Mitchell is one of those guys that you want to play in the regular season to see what he's got. I mean, you want to see how he's doing, and you know the intensity is going to ratchet up in the playoffs. Do you really want to throw him out there in game one or game two as his first hockey that he's played, really, NHL hockey anyway, that he's played in over a year?
And that would seem like probably a last resort.
That seems very risky to me.
Especially the way that someone like Jamie McGinn has really come on in the last week with more minutes. He's responded. He's been active. He plays physical. This kid is going to be on the team next year and for years to come. I think he looks like a real true NHLer.
Yeah, he's only 20 years old. He's got plenty of room to grow too. So that's the great thing about McGinn. I think you're right. I think he's on the team next year for sure.
While people kind of might bag on the Sharks AHL team, us included.
Yeah.
That, you know, they don't have any good young talent down there. You know why? They're all here.
Right.
They're on the team.
And actually, the number one prospect is not playing in the AHL.
Right.
He's playing in juniors.
Sure. And the number two prospect is in college.
That's right.
So, you know, people can kind of bag on the Sharks system, but I think when you look at the product it's produced and that they're basically all skating on the regular big club, you can't knock that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't knock that.
I mean, the Worcester Sharks could be a lot better next year with Logan Couture and Nick Petrecki playing pro hockey.
Sure, and we could send down Jamie McGinn and other players too and let them win the championship.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not the goal here.
No, who cares about
right?
that?
I mean, no disrespect to any Worcester Sharks fans that may have accidentally found our podcast, but
yeah,
while we're rooting for you, we're looking for the big prize.
I don't remember seeing a big-ass bling on the Calder Cup ring, you know what I mean?
I don't think so.
Anyway, so we want to get to the next segment, which we're going to be predicting and trying to defend our choices for the last two teams in the West to make it, because I think we would both agree, and hopefully most people would agree, that the first six seeds, maybe they might shift around a little bit in relation to each other, but I think we can all say that Sharks, Detroit, Calgary, Chicago, Vancouver, and Columbus are the six seeds that are going to be in the top six most likely. So the question is, last two seeds, huge dogfight, right? So we're each going to try and present who we think are going to make the last two seeds, and hopefully you guys can email us at questions@dudesonhockey.com and tell us that we're idiots or
maybe we should have it be the poll question, dude.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll make a new poll for this. So when you're listening to this, you'll see a new poll at dudesonhockey.com, and we'll make it the new poll question. So my first pick, do I have to go? What? Oh, yeah. We need tense music. Excuse me.
Nice, dude. Nice.
You like that?
I do like that.
All right. Anyway, do I have to give my seven seed first? Or is
no,
my...
dude, give one of your picks.
My first pick is Anaheim.
Oh, man.
Anaheim.
Okay.
Anaheim is going to make it because they are only 1 point out of the playoffs right now. You look at their schedule. They're facing Colorado twice, Edmonton twice, Phoenix, and Nashville. Okay. In terms of all of these teams that are on the bubble, I think Anaheim might have the easiest schedule.
Wow, dude.
So I'm going to have to go with... And they're 5-4-1 in their last 10. They're playing pretty well. I'm scared. That might be our first round opponent. The first California playoff series ever. Anaheim Ducks.
Dude. According to my statistics, I've calculated it. The team I'm picking to have the 8 seed to be our matchup, dude.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like you've picked the Ducks to be the 8.
I think I have, yeah.
I've picked this team to go 7-4. Finish with 90 points. The Sharks, if they're the number one,
mm-hmm.
will face the Anaheim Ducks, dude. I think that you're right. I got the same team.
Wow.
I got the same team, and I vomited a little bit when it happened. But actually, I think it would be really exciting, but boy, that would be...
Yeah.
That would be stressful. Dude, I'm going to tell you what my next team is.
Okay.
And I think this team is going to run away down the stretch. I've got them going 8-2. Even though they played Detroit once, I think that they're going to beat them. I think they're going to beat them tonight, dude. The Edmonton Oilers are the runaway 7 seed, in my opinion.
It's an interesting pick, dude. I also have Edmonton as a number 7. So much for the freaking controversy.
Okay. Dude, I have them winning their last 6 games. Minnesota, Anaheim. I have them beating us at home in Edmonton. I think they'll beat us. Vancouver, LA, and then they've got 2 games against Calgary. They'll split. Oilers are going to be the 7, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, who's the team out of all of these that you could guarantee and say there's no freaking way they're making the playoffs?
Nashville.
I have the same one, too. Dude, so either we're both stupid or we're like Nostra hockey
guys. I got to say, though, maybe to gin up a little controversy, because we've had none so far, so much for this segment. I almost picked Dallas. I was close.
Yeah, you know, Dallas has an interesting schedule.
Twice, Florida, St. Louis, Colorado. I almost picked Dallas.
This is the order I have them coming in here.
Okay.
I have Edmonton at the 7 with 95 points.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the Ducks coming in the 8 with 90. The next team I have is actually St. Louis coming in 9th with 87 points. I think, you know,
You're nuts about that.
Well, you look at their last 3 games. They've got Phoenix. They've got Columbus at home, which they could win that. They go to Colorado. They do draw Columbus 3 times here at the end.
Yeah.
But
that's what I look
at. St. Louis plays good teams really well. I have them in the 9 spot. I've got Dallas in the 10. You know, no Richards, no Morrow. Their next 4 games are Vancouver, LA, Florida at home, and then they go to Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go to LA. I mean, I wouldn't count them out, but Minnesota and Nashville are done. They have no chance.
Yeah. Minnesota only has 1 easy game
and
against the Islanders, which is their next game. And
I have them losing that game, dude. I think they'll lose it.
And the rest of their games are going to be tough.
Yeah.
So I think Minnesota's got, they drew a brutal schedule here down the stretch. Nashville drew a brutal schedule. Edmonton has what I characterized as a kind of hard schedule, a medium schedule, and Anaheim has maybe the easiest. Dallas might be a little bit easier, but they're a hair easier, but their injuries are going to kill them. Plus, they have more ground to make up than Anaheim does, and Edmonton's already in the 7. So
it sounds like Edmonton consensus 7, Ducks consensus 8, but it's possible it could be Dallas.
Yeah.
Which would you prefer between the two?
Well, it depends on who Dallas has in the lineup, right?
Well, no Richards for sure.
No Richards for sure. But if they get Zuboff and Morrow back, I don't think I want to play Dallas.
You heard anything about Zuboff?
No, I've heard nothing about it.
I think Zuboff is done.
You think he's done? D-U-N done?
Done.
I don't want to play. I really don't.
Well, you know, this is a different Ducks team.
It
without
is.
That third line,
that's
they're
right.
considerably less scary.
And without their second and third line D, really. I mean, they gave us Huskins and they're,
right.
you know, they've had problems with keeping people healthy. So.
I'll tell you what, either one will be extremely dramatic and a lot of fun.
That's right. Okay, so now we're going to go to the last topic of the evening, which is a more general NHL topic, and that's this sort of new controversy that came out last week about the Ovechkin quote-unquote celebration. I'm sure a lot of you read about this. Ovechkin scored his 50th goal, and he sort of put his stick down on the ice and sort of did the Jimi Hendrix guitar on fire thing. That's sort of how I interpreted it. I don't know if he really thought of Jimi Hendrix when he was doing it, but that's what he did, and then he took a kind of a lot of heat from other players and pundits about him, you know, making up this premeditated celebration, which was clearly premeditated. Well, I don't know, dude. What do you think about Ovechkin's little theater piece?
Can you see this in the locker room where he is? They're taping up. They're getting ready. And he calls Backstrom and Green over. He's like, okay, guys, today I score goal. Now, here. I want to choreograph dance. Put on dance belt and come over to parallel bar and let us stretch in Royal Moscow Ballet. put here, green here. Let me hold you.
but they backed out.
Those guys left him hanging. Yeah. It didn't stop him.
Yeah, which is funny.
I don't know. This is, you know, people are going to be comparing it to the Terrell Owens, like,
mm-hmm.
disrespecting the star
right.
in Dallas, which ironically...
Pulling the Sharpie out of the sock.
Right. And you know, Ocho Cinco in
yeah.
Chad Johnson. It's the same kind of thing. I mean, these are premeditated. They're not celebrations of the heart, I guess you would say, where you're mm-hmm. in the moment. I hate to, you know, I kind of feel like it's bogus, and I don't think it really has any place in a sport where everybody's sort of known for being gentlemanly.
Right.
But, I mean...
Tell that to Marty McSorley.
I guess, yeah, right. What do you think, dude?
I don't know. The fact that it's even... the fact that it was his 50th goal, to me, gives it more... I'm more lenient because it was his 50th goal. If he did that for like goal number 26 versus Tampa Bay, you know, on a Thursday night, it's like, that'd be weak. It was his 50th goal. That's a big milestone for the season. If he came up with this crap every goal, then yeah, I wouldn't be so keen on it. He did it once. It wasn't even that good of a celebration, to be honest. The fact that the other guys didn't participate when they were clearly recruited to do so, I think is a little telling. If he does this every goal, I'm going to start jumping on him. But, you know, I give him a pass. I mean, he's a great dynamic player. We don't, as Jeremy Roenick said, we don't want to take that kind of dynamo personality out of the game. We don't want to squelch that. And yeah, okay, maybe it wasn't what I would have done, and maybe it was a little bit cheesy, but, you know, who cares? You want a little bit of variety around here. You don't just want people just to, you know, flip the puck to the ref all the time. You do want a little bit of you know, spice.
Yeah. Dude, do you know that this is my 39th podcast?
It is, dude.
It is. My 39th podcast, dude! My 39th podcast! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Take that! Take it! Woo! Podcast!
That was a good celebration, dude. Put your shirt back on. Put the shirt back
on. I can't do that. Sorry. How do you feel about my celebration?
It was good, dude.
Why didn't you join me?
Because you didn't recruit me before the show. I didn't know you were going to do that.
Well, I guess we can expect a phone call from Don Cherry now.
Yeah, yeah, in his crazy suits.
Maybe dude, do you see my Friesen tattoo? Check this out.
It burns. Oh, it burns. Oh. I don't want to see that again, dude.
Okay, sorry. But I'm celebrating.
Okay.
And it's unplanned. See, now that's a celebration.
That's a celebration. I'll give you that.
It's an A-plus celebration.
I think we have to end the show on that because I can barely see. That takes us to the end of Dudes on Hockey. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you'll visit us at our blog at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And I hope you'll listen to us again next week. Same time, same place.
Dude, I've got a plea hall tattoo. Let me just show you.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.